the 29th chapter, verses 9 through 14, as David talks about giving unto God. Now, the background of the story is this. David is at the end of his career. And one day, David, sitting in his beautiful palace, thought to himself, it isn't right that I am living in all of this luxury, and yet God is still dwelling in a tent. For at that time, the worship center of Israel was still the tabernacle, the tent patterned after the tent in the wilderness. And so David thought, I'm going to build a house for the Lord. But the Lord told David that because of the fact that he had been a man of war, shed much blood, God could not have David building him a house. Instead, God would build a house for David, and that David's son, whom the Lord would raise up after him, would build the house. So David, disappointed that he could not build the house for God, did the next best thing. He began in his latter years to gather all of the materials for the house. He hired stonemasons, had them cutting out stones. He drew the plans for the temple and then gathered together the materials, the gold, the cedars from Lebanon, the silver, and all of the things for the house of the Lord. So David gathered together then the elders of Israel, and he proclaimed unto them the fact that as soon as he was gone, Solomon was going to be raised up in his stead and was going to build a house unto the Lord. And David said, here I've gathered together all of the stone, the wood, the gold, the silver, the brass for all of the various vessels and all. And he said, I've given out of my own personal finances all of this gold and silver to overlay all of the things with gold and all. And it talks about David's giving unto God and his challenge to the people. Who then will give of himself unto the Lord? I would like to talk to you this morning on a subject I rarely speak on, and that is giving to God. And the first question is, how are we to give to God? You know, there's a real art to giving. In fact, in Romans, the 12th chapter, it does mention that that is one of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of giving. And there is a real gift to giving. You know, some people are so awkward that by the time they give you something, you wish they hadn't. They just don't know how to give. They seem to put strings and all to the thing, you know, and by the time they say, and now I want to give it to you, you feel like saying, keep it. I don't need it. Because they make you feel obligated through the gift. But then there is that real art of giving. There are some people who make a lot over little when they give. There are a lot of people who make a little over a lot when they give. I have an uncle that used to, when he would give us a piece of chocolate out of the box, a candy, it was like giving you the Hope Diamond. I mean, he would go on and on raving about the chocolate and all that it was. And now, you know, and the big presentation, like, man, you're really getting so much. And he'd go on and on about a gift of a piece of a chocolate candy out of the box. I was uncomfortable always at his house because he always made you feel, you know, like he was giving you something that was really great when really it was very little. And there are some people that, you know, that's just the knack that they have. In giving to God, there are several negatives. We should never give to God in the sense of an Indian giver. Now, I use that term not with any racial slur intentions at all. But it represents a type of giving, at least it did when we were kids, of giving something and then demanding it back. You know, they would say, here, I want to give you my jump rope. And then a few days later, I want my jump rope back again. You say, Indian giver. And because they gave, but then they really didn't give. That isn't true giving. It's still maintaining ownership. It would be better to say, I'm going to lend you, rather than I want to give to you, because it isn't a true giving. And I don't know where that term ever got started. I don't know what the Indians ever did to cause that name to be given to that type of giving. I really, you know, have never met an Indian that I didn't really love. And I've never had an Indian give me anything and ask for it back again. So I don't know where that term originated, and as I use it, surely there is no racial slur intentions at all. People have become very sensitive about their race. I think that's sort of sad. You know, we need to recognize that God loves us all. When I was a little child, I used to sing, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And really, the whites were the last listed on that. And I never did feel bad about it. I was just glad he loved me too. And I think it's sad that people have made a big sensitive issue about, you know, my race or whatever. I'm the ugly American. And, you know, I'm called a honky and different things, but it really doesn't upset me to any great degree. God loves me, and that's what really counts. And God loves us all. And God doesn't love one race above another race. And so I only use the term to express a type of giving that we can relate to mentally. We shouldn't be giving to God that way, and yet many people do give to God and then demand it back again. Then there is giving with conditions, conditional giving. I will give this to you provided that, and then all of the conditions spelled out. And so it isn't really a free gift. It isn't a true gift. It's a conditional gift. You can have it if you will do this and this and this and this and this. The First Baptist Church in Huntington Beach had a real problem. I don't know if it still exists or not. But several years ago, the pastor came to me, and he was in a real dilemma because they had outgrown their downtown facility. They had no parking, and they had no room to expand. They were locked in. But there was a clause in the deed. When the family gave the property to the First Baptist Church some 65 years ago, they put a clause in the deed that this property is given to the First Baptist Church of Huntington Beach to be used for the First Baptist Church of Huntington Beach, and any time it is not any longer used for the First Baptist Church of Huntington Beach, the property reverts back to the owners who gave it. So he needed to buy more property. They needed to build new facilities. They need to expand with Huntington Beach's expansion at that time. But yet they didn't have the money unless they sold the property downtown. So they went to the owners, those people who had given the property to the church at that time. It was 50 years ago. And they said, look, we need to expand and all. Would you allow us to sell this property and use it to buy some acreage out here and build a new first? No way. The deed declares that any time this property is used for anything other than the First Baptist Church of Huntington Beach, it reverts to the family and we'll take it back. And the pastor was in a real dilemma. It was given with strings attached. Conditional giving. The pastor finally, so discouraged, he resigned the church over that issue. He couldn't handle it. But there are people who do give to God with all kinds of strings attached to their giving. It's conditional giving unto God. And then there is giving, which is forced giving. We used to get a guy in an arm lock and start twisting and pulling, say, give up, give up. And finally he says, I give, you know. Well, that's a forced kind. You hold a gun and say, all right, give me your wallet. Well, you might give your wallet, but it's a forced giving. It's not something you really want to do. You're being forced to do it against your will. And then there is pressured giving. A person who is so pressured, you feel, oh my, you know, I've got to give, I guess, to get him off my back, you know. And you're giving out of pressure. Now, you should never give to God out of any of these things. You should never give to God maintaining ownership yourself. What is given to God is God's. You should never give to God with stipulations. Nor should you ever give to God in a forced kind of a giving or in a pressured giving. I am embarrassed and humiliated the way people beg for money for God, or even worse, yell and scream and rant and rave and jump up and down in order to try to somehow make people feel obligated or whatever to give to God. I think that television is representing God in a very poor light before the world. And it's sad that people have adopted such unscriptural means of seeking to exhort or whatever people to give to the Lord. In verse 9, we are told that they gave with a complete heart. They offered willingly unto the Lord, and with a perfect or complete heart, they offered willingly unto the Lord. And this is the only way we should ever give to God. With a complete heart, willingly unto the Lord. And if you can't give to God that way, then you really shouldn't be giving. There is no real value in your giving to God if it's under pressure, if you feel forced, if it doesn't just come from your heart. You see, giving, true giving, is always an expression of love. God so loved the world that he gave. That's meaningful giving. Now, if I want to give to God anything that is meaningful, the only way I can give it to God is out of a complete heart. God, I love you. And because I love you, Lord, I want to give to you. No one's pressuring me. No one's forcing me. This is something, Lord, that I just want to do because I love you. And it's an expression, Lord, of my love to you. And that's the only kind of giving that has any validity. That which comes from a heart of love, giving to God out of love. And if you can't give to God that way, then don't give at all. Because there's really no value in giving any other way. That's the only kind of gifts that God really accepts or desires. Now notice in verse 9 also it says, and they rejoice greatly. When you give this way, there's rejoicing attached to it. It isn't, you know, giving and all sour and all, oh, always money, you know, and this kind of bit. But it's a rejoicing. You're happy. Lord, I love you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad, Lord, that I can give this to you. Paul said God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarious. So there was great rejoicing because they gave from their hearts willingly unto the Lord. But then the question arises, what can I give to God? You ever had the problem of trying to get something for someone who has everything? Well, think of it. God has everything. This whole vast universe all belongs to Him. He created it. What can you give to someone who has everything? We have a relative who has everything. And Christmas, it's so difficult trying to figure out. Now, you want to give them something. After all, it's Christmas, and we like to express our love for each other in giving. But they've already got everything. They don't need a thing. And when you give, you like to help, you know, fill a need somewhere or other. You want the gift to be needed or used or whatever, and so. But they have, you know, whatever they need, they go out and get. So it leaves you nothing at Christmas time. So it's finally come down to the place where you just give them a check every Christmas. And let them go out and get what they want, because they really don't need anything. And yet we love them when we want to express our love. But those kind of people are very difficult to buy for. Now, with God, what in the world can I give to God that He really needs? That was the question, actually, that David brought up there in the 116th Psalm that we read. What shall I render unto God for all of His benefits unto me? What can I give to God? Now, we usually think of giving to God in terms of money. And it used to be that at one time we had gold certificates. And so the certificate actually said, the government owes you so much in gold. Stands behind this, they printed certificates with the gold reserves. And then they changed it to the silver, and they had silver certificates, which actually declared, we owe you so much silver. Now they just print money that says, we owe you nothing. It's not backed by anything. But thinking of money as sort of a backed by gold or backed by silver, as a true value kind of a thing. So I give to God some gold. Where did the gold come from? He created all of the gold that exists. Where did the silver come? He created all the silver. Where did the diamonds come? He created all the diamonds that exist. I think that one of the features of heaven will be tours to the golden galaxy. Come out and see a galaxy all of pure solid gold. The diamond galaxy, the silver galaxy, the sapphire galaxy. The Emerald Galaxy. For God creating these things in the capacity to create, could speak galaxies into existence of precious metals or gems. So, how could I give these to God and they really be meaningful? For after all, He really doesn't need them. You see, God, in reality, doesn't need anything I have. He existed very, very well before I ever came along. And He's going to go on doing very well long after I leave. God doesn't need me or anything that I possess. Not only that, God isn't broke. He's not about to file bankruptcy. And he doesn't need you to bail him out. And he's not depending upon you to support his program or it's going to die. These are all misconceptions concerning God. God is quite able to maintain and to support himself without your help. The day God needs your support, we're all in big trouble. Everything David said in verse 14 comes from you. What can I give you, God? Everything comes from you. You see, I can't give anything of a material nature to God, but what he can't make, all of it he wants. He can make so much of it that it makes it common and then rather worthless. Now, gold is a precious metal. It's rare, and the value is placed because of its rarity. Actually, God could have made so much gold and placed it upon this planet Earth that gold would have been of no value at all because there had been so much of it. As I understand, in fact, God uses it for asphalt in heaven, so it's really not too valuable to God. That is why God never measures the gift by the amount of its value. He always measures the gift by the cost. What did it cost you? That's the measurement by which God looks at any gift that you give to him. Not what is its value. Oh, I gave God a diamond ring worth $2,000. Out of my collection of 150 diamond rings. So what? Very little value as far as God is concerned. He doesn't measure the gift by the amount of the value, but by what it cost. You remember Jesus was standing with his disciples one day and they were watching the people as they were casting their money into the offering plate. They're in the treasury of the temple. And as they were going by and the wealthy were throwing in their big amounts with a lot of show and all, some little woman came along and dropped in a mite and turned and moved away quickly. Not much show, not much demonstration. A mite, a 16th of a penny. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Did you see that? She gave more than all of the rest of them." "What do you mean, Lord? That guy just dropped in $1,000 check, you know. That's only a 16th of a penny. What do you mean she gave more?" Jesus said, "They have given out of their abundance, but she has given out of her very livelihood all that she had." It cost her more to give the mite than it cost them to give their large amounts. And God took notice of the small gift and valued it more than those expensive gifts. What did it cost you to give? That's the true value that is placed upon that which I give to God. What did it cost me to give? David said, that all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given unto thee. In other words, everything, Lord, has come from you, and so we've only given that which is yours. That's like going over to a neighbor's house and cutting flowers out of his garden, knocking on his door and say, here, I'd like to give you a bouquet. Or inviting you over for dinner at your house next Friday night. You're only giving back that which is his. It all came from you anyhow, Lord. And we're only giving to you that which is yours. Now, I would like to say that I think that when we think of giving to God in terms of money only, that many times we are giving to God that which he least wants from us. In fact, many times it's a lot easier to try to just sort of assuage our consciences by dropping a $5 bill in the offering plate and thinking, oh, well, after all, God, look what I gave you last Sunday, and sort of just forgetting it, you know, and each week drop something in the offering plate and sort of feel that I've relieved myself of all of my obligations to God because I supported God last Sunday. Have you ever thought about giving God some of your time? Oh, but I'm so busy. It might cost you a little bit. And God will measure the cost. But I think it's important that we think about giving God some of our time. Taking time from other important things like television and the newspaper, and giving God a little time, spending some time in prayer, spending time in fellowship with him. Maybe some of you fellas would like to come down and spend some time in the prayer room in the all-night prayer sessions. Sure, it'll cost you some sleep, but oh, the dividends that the whole community can receive from the time that you give to God. Have you thought about giving some of your talents to the Lord? God has really given to some of you great talent, great abilities. Have you thought about just giving some of your talent back to God to be used as God so desires? Or have you thought about just giving service unto God? There are all kinds of tasks that are always needing someone to just offer some time to do. Stuffing envelopes for the radio ministry. Answering mail. Weeding some of the garden areas around it. There's always a lot of things that can be done. Have you ever thought about just giving some service to God? But you know, there is something that God wants from you more than anything else. And he wants your heart. He wants you to just give to him your heart completely. Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. I give it, Lord, to you. And in reality, that's the only thing that you can give that really has true meaning, because it is a rarity. God made only one of you. And he's not going to go ahead and mass produce you into a galaxy. There's just one of you. And God wants you to give yourself to Him. I read of an Indian mission out in New Mexico where they were passing the offering plate, and as they came to this one row, this Indian said to the usher, "Put the offering plate down a little lower, please." And he lowered it, and he said, "Lower yet, lower yet, lower yet," until finally the usher put it on the floor, and he stepped into the offering plate and stood there and said, "This is all I have to give to God." But nothing would please God more than for you to just give Him your life. Such as it is, Lord, I give it to You. The scripture cries, "My son, give me your heart." That's what God really desires. Your love from your heart to Him. Shall we pray? Help us, Lord, today to learn about giving. And may we give ourselves to You without reservation, without strings, out of love. In Jesus' name, amen.